This episode of Ask Theory was made possible by the British Council Philippines. For more information on the 2024 Women in STEM Scholarships, please visit www.britishcouncil.ph/study-uk/women-in-STEM. The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. All right, so on this episode of the Ask Theory podcast, we have another returning guest, si Dr. Chen. And she actually talked to us in a different episode about another important medical condition na I think you all should know about. So you can check out our podcast catalog, our list of episodes, so you can learn more about that medical condition. But let's focus on today's episode. Hi, Dr. Chen. Welcome to the Ask Theory podcast. Ulit.
Hello, nice to see you again and nice to meet everybody again.
Yeah, so for people who are tuning in for the first time, let's give them a little background on you. Who are you and what do you do specifically?
Hi, so my name is again Chenry Ann Lim, so you can just call me Chen. I'm actually a medical doctor by profession. I did a specialty training in pediatrics. And currently, I'm working now with Medicine Sans Frontières or Doctors Without Borders. So now I'm a project manager for a specific topic for Medicine Sans Frontières. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ayan. So speaking of specific topics, ang pag-uusapan natin ngayon is a topic na feeling ko matunog sa mga tao ngayon. Maybe because at least for me, it's a largely unfamiliar condition na actually recently lang natin mas naririnig. I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar maybe with this, but lately lang talaga siya na-feature sa news for certain reasons. And that is, of course, whooping cough or pertussis. So, ano po ba ito at what kind of condition is this? Can you give us a little bit of a background on this?
Yeah, so thank you so much. So I think everybody who have seen the news in the Philippines would have heard about pertussis. And as what Michael said, it's sometimes we call it whooping cough, or usually sa Filipino, usually we say na parang yung kumakahol na aso, yung type ng ubo. So this is basically, it's a bacterial infection. So we have to remember that it's a bacteria. Okay, so it's caused by a bacteria known as Bordetella pertussis. And it actually affects quite a lot the respiratory system. And that is the reason why it's called whooping cough. Or kung hindi nyo alam kung what is a whooping cough, it's sometimes it's hawking cough. Or as I said, kumagol na aso. Kasi it's a cough that is nonstop. Yeah. So that's what pertussis.
So ako as someone na walang direct experience with this condition, ako pag narinig ko yung ganitong sakit, medyo the part of my brain na nagpapanik or nagkaka-anxiety about this, medyo nagte-trigger siya dahil how do I know kung itong ubo ko, kung ba umuubo ako ng malakas or tuloy-tuloy, at ibig sabihin ba natin, may sakit na ba ako? Pero before I get into that siguro, pag-usapan mo natin, how does this spread? And maybe another important question here is, who is most at risk of getting this disease?
Yeah, so for this, I'll answer everything parang in chronological order na lang din. Para it will be a much, much easier to understand by quite a lot of the listener. So as I said, pertussis kasi is a bacterial infection. So of course, being a bacterial infection, usually, you have a myriad of symptoms. So, as a bacterial infection, of course, you will always have fever. So, of course, when you have fever, you also have runny nose kasi nga respiratory talaga yung target ng bacteria. And then, of course, you have the coughing. So, it spreads through, especially pag nagka-cough ka, sa mga droplets ng mga secretions when you're coughing. So for example, nag-cough ka, yung mga droplets ng cough mo, or when you sneeze, yung mga droplets ng sneeze, that's how the infection spread. Of course, the people who are most at risk are the kids. Kasi nga, so it's not just it will happen in kids, but they're the most at risk. Pero everybody can get pertussis. It's just that in adults, the symptoms will be a bit more milder or much more better than for the kids. So the kids really are the ones that is most at risk of this one. So how do you differentiate this? Because as what you said, minsan, for example, when you like say like, okay, paano kung nasampid ako, di ba nagka-cough ka rin? As I said, may myriads of symptomatologies. So usually talaga, since it's a bacterial infection, dapat meron kang fever. So for example, if you see somebody na coughing lang na wala namang fever, baka naman hindi siya pertussis. Because pertussis talaga, you have fever. Now, it's very difficult kasi yung cough ng pertussis talaga, since sabi ko nga, parang gumaghol na aso, is talagang non-stop siya. So when you cough, talaga tuloy-tuloy siya na coughing. Parang, if you're a musician, parang siyang staccato coughing type of cough talaga. Yeah.
Okay, so kahit yung quality ng ubo, may kakaiba and then may samahan ng konting fever and then a bunch of other signs.
Yes, like runny nose, of course, the normal respiratory illnesses talaga. Yes.
Okay,
Pero yung
and
cough niya talaga is very, very different.
So kaya siya dinidescribe nga na parang ano, tahol ng aso.
Yes, opo, yes.
So, ang isang napansin ko lang din talaga, meron tayong parang very specific way of describing yung mga ganito, no? Like, naalala ko, okay, sige, RVE, banggitin ko na yung other condition that you talked about in the previous podcast episode. It's a methanol poisoning. And nabanggit niyo doon yung term na, ano, ginbulag, no? Na,
yeah.
And I recall, you mentioned dun sa episode na yun na tayo, unique tayo in that tayo lang yung merong ganong term. So for me, parang interesting lang talaga na, or maybe side observation, na we tend to be very descriptive, ang Pinoy, no? Very
yes.
descriptive sa pagdating sa symptom or effects na parang meron, I can't quite put it into words, but I guess that also reflects our approach towards how we look at diseases.
Yes, and it's better understood by quite a lot of people. And I think this is why we tend to simplify quite a lot, and which is very good, because when you talk about it to the people na, you know, the education level is not very high, mas madali nilang maintindihan, which also makes it better because they will seek healthcare much more early. So, yun din yung kagandahan sa atin, yeah.
Oo nga. Actually, even yung the term whooping cough is, I suppose, an attempt to simplify pertussis, because pertussis is a weird word. It's a
yes.
kakaiba. Ganyan.
Yeah. Yes.
And
aside from kakaiba siya, it's also because it's derived basically from the virus na where it came from. It's like COVID, for example. COVID, that's why it's called COVID, is because it's from coronavirus disease. That's why it's simplify as
COVID. Ayun. So, na-highlight talaga yung importance of yung communicating details about these medical conditions or diseases to the public and the way we do that. Now, so, on the topic of communicating to the public, siguro yung isang significant thing or reason why napag-uusapan itong whooping cough ngayon is because there is an outbreak. And according to yung latest na report na nabasa ko, which was yesterday, from the Department of Health. As of March 23, there have been 862 pertussis cases. And I think for me nga, na walang prior experience with this, the most shocking thing about this report is that meron nang namatay. And there have been, since the start of the year, there have been 49 deaths. And for me, this raises the question, paano ba umaabot sa point na nakamamatay itong whooping cough na ito?
Usually for whooping cough, you die because of the complications. And it's because, for example, sa kids, you just imagine, for a kid na non-stop yung coughing niya. So sometimes when you have non-stop coughing, sometimes nahirapan ka huminga. And then when you get very tired, you sometimes, you know, some of the kids, sometimes they forget to breathe, so you'll have apnea. Sometimes it can lead to pneumonia. minsan nga sa sobrang ubo nila, you know, nagkakaroon sila ng tinatawag nating hypoxic spell, yung tinatawag na nauubusan ng oxygen. So minsan nagkakaroon sila ng seizure. So yun yung mga myriad of complications naman na pwedeng mangyari sa mga kids. And maybe that's also the reason why maraming mortality na na-record. So it can be because some of the kids came in very late to the healthcare facility, you know. Because sometimes nga, sa hindi, you know, sometimes here in the Philippines, kasi very regular na yung ubo eh, you know. And this is sometimes why we need to give a bit more of awareness. So sa mga magulang din, so that they know na they have to send their kids very, very early. Kasi nga, yung symptomatology natin na akala natin na, you know, very common natin na narinig sa mga anak natin, you know, the ubot sipon, you know. Sometimes it can be another disease pala. So this is why it's very, very important.
Oh, and lalo na nga yung, yun nga, nabanggit, medyo nabanggit nyo nga yung parang the way we treat yung mga ganitong medyo common na, ah, ubo lang yan, or ah, ano lang yan, lagnat lang yan, hindi naman kailangan, ah, ubo lagnat lang yan, siguro tulugan mo lang yan, baka bukas okay ka na, and that's usually where the trouble really begins, ano?
Yes. And sometimes you assume na eh, kaya parang, ah, for example, maraming kang kapatid, you know, na, ah, your kapatid mo nagkaganya naman before. So,
Oo, yung...
Yeah, you know, diba? Kasi ganun naman din minsan eh, kasi it's cultural na parang, yeah, you experienced that before, baka naman it's the same. You know? So, ito lang, that's why we wanted to make sure that we give awareness because we don't want the children to present very, very late to the health facility.
Yeah, lalo na, and you mentioned children, I've been reading a little bit about this and ang nakikita ko sa mga reputable, I have to stress reputable, hindi tayo, for listeners syempre, kung magbabasa tayo ng medical resources, nothing beats getting information directly from medical professionals. But if you're pressed for time and you really need to curious ka lang about this illness or this disease, pwede naman din ngang maghanap sa Google or sa mga websites. But make sure that you're reading medical information from reputable websites. Usually sila yung nagsasite ng mga medical studies or they're, I would say, reputable yung info websites from hospitals themselves or doctors themselves. Hindi tayo basta maniniwala lang sa mga nababasa natin sa social media, ganyan. Iwasan natin yan. But going back to what I was gonna share, isa sa mga nabasa ko from some reputable sites is yung mortality rate, mataas, parang mataas na percentage ay kids talaga. Yung mga bata.
Yes, as I said, yeah. Just it's because of the complications. Huh? So, that's why. Because they also have a different... Similar sa adults na we have already... Our coping mechanism already developed. Sa mga kids kasi, it's not yet there. That's why yung once they get very, very sick, it's very, very difficult also. Yeah, so they get more complications.
Yeah, kaya talagang importante na aware tayo sa mga signs na to. Kasi lalo na yung medyo vulnerable or mas madaling tamaan or mas madaling magkaroon ng matinding impact ay yung mga younger parts of the population, younger subset of the population.
Yeah, and that is the reason why it's important because if you put it on any public health measures, you don't measure, for example, death ng adolescent, it's infant mortality rate, neonatal mortality rate, because they're the ones that are really prone to diseases. They're ones prone talaga to complications. That's why it's very important. That's why mga if you go to countries or anywhere around the world, it's one of the health indicators talaga yung infant mortality rate. Yes, because that will give kung gaano kalakas din yung healthcare system ng isang country.
Actually, nung nabanggit nyo nga yan, napaisip tuloy ako, sa ngayon ba? Kasi hindi pa ako nakapagbasa from other countries. Meron bang outbreak or something sa ibang bansa right now? Or currently ba parang tayo lang yung talaga mabalita? Sa Philippines lang ba yung current na merong nababalitang ganito? Kasi I do plan to look it up later, but I'm just curious now. Are there any other cases in other countries right now?
No, actually, there's quite a lot of increasing cases of pertussis, not just in the Philippines. So if you look at it in the U.S., for example, there are increasing number also of pertussis in the U.K. Yeah. And this is what is a bit alarming also because, you know, all of these are vaccine-preventable diseases. You might not have heard that it's real-time, but it's happening. you know, because this is what is quite important for us to remember is just that even in the Philippines, it's not just this time as what you have is stress. It's since January, there has been increasing number of cases. This is also what you will see in other countries, that the number of cases that they've seen for vaccine preventable, for example, for pertussis, is not as what they've seen previously. Yes, and that is the reason why you're not just, it's not glaringly in the news that, okay, there's an outbreak of this, there's an outbreak of this, but there has been reported of increasing number of pertussis cases. And this is not just in the Philippines, as I said, you can, as I said, you can see it in the US, you can see it in the UK, that there has been emerging increase in the number of incidences or cases of pertussis also. And it just doesn't happen in kids, but there has been reports also that is happening in adolescents, you know. So, yeah.
Napaisip tuloy ako kasi I think I kind of understand now why that anxious part of my brain is sort of like lighting up. Kasi parang I've read kahit nung early, yung mga earliest news reports pa lang talking about pertussis in the Philippines. May nababasa na akong mga, of course, may hindi maalis yan sa internet, may mga nagko-comment, ganyan, magsasabi na, ala, ano na naman, may kumakalat na namang sakit, this is COVID all over again. Yun yung naalala kong nabasa kong isang comment, tapos ang daming nag-reply sa kanya, or ang daming nag-like, ganyan. But speaking as someone with actual medical expertise, what are your thoughts on this sentiment from the public? Should we really be alarmed?
You have to actually also realize that COVID is a bit different from pertussis because COVID-19 is a viral infection and pertussis is a bacterial infection. So with pertussis, because it's a bacterial infection, there is a very, very effective treatment, you know. So you have antibiotics that can actually treat the disease. And with COVID-19, because it's a viral infection, there is no specific treatment on it. And that's the reason why when we had COVID-19, always our ang ini-stress talaga is the prevention. Okay, so it's like you're comparing a giraffe to a goldfish, you know? Because pertussis is a bacterial infection. Ang bacteria, one of the most common characteristic of them, they're big. They're big as compared to viruses, and that's why the spread also of the viruses is much more faster as compared to the bacterial one. And with the bacterial infection, as I said, meron tayong gamot talaga that is very effective. Yeah, but as I said also that this is respiratory, so of course the preventative aspect of this one is really, you know, just like COVID-19, because of by droplets when you cough or when you sneeze, it's very helpful na nagmamask pa din kayo. Or, you know, like when you cough, you know, you close your, you cover your mouth and your nose, or when you sneeze and you wash your hands because it's still a respiratory droplets. Yeah.
Okay. So just to parang make it more easier to remember, no? Just una, yung keeping yourself clean, yung typical hygiene practices, tapos and masking up helps. Kasi I was actually gonna ask about that, parang since this is something na related sa ubo, dapat ba magmask ulit? And sa ngayon, I think wala pa akong nabasa ng mandate or yung official mandate na magmask ulit, but it can help. It can help kung magmamask kayo ulit.
Yes, especially sa mga kids. Kasi, of course, they're the one that is much more prone.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Sa mga adults naman, since as I said, hindi naman siya ganun kagrabe. So, you don't really need. Pero kasi kung talaga may symptoms ka of coughing or sneezing, it's still better to wear a mask. Yeah.
And as you mentioned, this is preventable. This is something that we can avoid if siguro yung doubt or hesitation natin sa modern medical technology, modern medical procedures, ay isasantabi na muna natin in favor of what the evidence actually says.
Yes.
Oo, and alam naman natin na ang topic of ano of medical advancements in general, vaccines are just one of them. Pero yung this topic, parang if you look online, there's typically a lot of unpleasant discussions about it, and that sort of contributes to the erosion of trust No, pero we I think it helps na hindi naman, I'm not saying na blindly believe or just take everything na lang nasabihin sa atin ng ano, but it helps to remember that yung medical professionals, when they give qualified advice, they have our best interests at heart, no? And so when they say na it helps to wear masks or it helps to get vaccinated or it helps to be more hygienic, to be more careful, hindi lang sila, hindi, it's not the time for conspiracy theories or something like that. Ayun, I guess I just wanted to get that out.
Yes.
Ayun.
We will want the best for everybody, definitely, yes.
Oo. And ano nga eh, parang, syempre, we just want everyone to make it out of whatever things happen to us. As many of us can make it out well and healthy as possible. Ito, I just have to ask, siguro hindi naman, yung and of course this will be based completely on your opinion. It's not like you're saying, I don't want our listeners to misinterpret and say na sinabi ni Doc ganito, so ganito talaga. But in your qualified opinion, meron nga ba talagang increasing trend of infectious diseases in recent times? And I think medyo nasagot mo na to kanina, but just to really stress yung ano, or eto bang mga bagay na ito ay nangyayari na talaga sa paligid natin, and siguro mas nagiging nervyoso, anxious, cautious tayo sa mga nababalitaan nating bagong sakit just because we came out of something that, as I like to say, took out 3 years of or occupied 3 years of our collective lives.
Yeah. Just to give this a bit more of a context, you know, after the COVID-19 pandemic, as you have really said, rightly said, huh, that everything stopped. And that also means a lot of the primary healthcare services, you know, the expanded program of immunization, also that all the healthcare facility has actually also stopped, because, you know, you stopped going to the healthcare facility because of the pandemic. Now, this one is not just a problem in the Philippines. Globally, you will really see an increase in the number of outbreaks, especially for vaccine preventable diseases. It's because also there was a bit of a stoppage of the essential healthcare services that happened during the COVID-19 pandemic that happened 3 years, that, you know, happened 3 years ago. So ito naman yung dapat din natin ibalik now. You know, the normal health-seeking behavior that we're used to, you know, na wala tayong fear now if you go to the healthcare facility, mahawa ka ng mga sakit. That's why it also prevents you from going na to get the normal, you know, the primary healthcare assessment, yung mga vaccination coverage ng mga bata. Ito na yung kailangan natin ibalik now, because globally talaga, dumarami na rin. It's because of the vaccination rate, especially for kids, it decreased talaga after the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, when you were giving that example, inaalala akong parang game sa arcade. I think some of their listeners na mahilig mag-arcade probably familiar with yung whack-a-mole. Yung para siyang machine na may, you have a hammer, and then you have this machine na parang may mga butas. And then yung goal of the game is to, pag lumabas yung gopher or yung mole from one of the holes, kailangan paluin mo siya with the hammer. And then pag napalo mo siya, lalabas sa ibang butas. And then minsan dalawa silang sasabay. It feels like parang after COVID-19, medyo naging medyo whack-a-mole sort of game ang healthcare, in the sense na these problems keep popping up. And medyo ang nangyari, the way I see it anyway, is parang ang pinapalo natin, iisang butas lang, which is yung butas ng COVID, and parang nakalimutan na yung ibang butas, or iniiwasan natin kasi feeling natin yung pinaka-importanting butas ay yung hole kung saan the COVID mole comes out.
Yes, and I think now you will also see that people will be running after all of these things again.
Yeah.
Because these are what we call the emerging diseases. Because nga, we kind of forget about it. So now there are, you know, increasing cases now of this one. As I said, this is not just happening in the Philippines. Huh? Like, if you look at it in some countries in the Middle East, there is like diphtheria outbreak, you know, you have measles outbreak, we have cholera outbreak. And all of this is because, as I said, the primary healthcare services, yung preventative aspect talaga ng basic healthcare natin, which is, you know, the immunization, talagang the disrupt siya during the pandemic. So that's why we're running after all of the emerging diseases again now, especially for vaccine preventable diseases.
Ayun. So, ang ganda ng pagkaka-explain ni Doc Chen about this issue. And I'm sure na yung mga, since marami tayong mga tanong as members of the public about these unfamiliar things, malaking clarity yung naibigay because na-explain siya lahat. So, thank you for taking the time to talk to me about this. But if our listeners like had more questions or maybe are interested in the other things that you're currently working on, your other health-related or medical-related projects, can you give us like yung best ways to reach out to you or your organization?
Yeah, so we have an email address that we will be sharing with you siguro na lang after the this episode.
Yeah.
And you can just post it if there are questions, especially for example, they might be asking like how many doses of diphtheria do I need if I need to get vaccination, these are things that we can explain also to them afterwards.
Ayun. Sige, I will add the contact information dun sa description of the podcast episode. So, I really appreciate that you took the time again to talk to me. Parang nagiging, you're becoming one of my go-to people now when it comes to talking about infectious diseases and weird or uncommon medical conditions or medical conditions na medyo hindi tayo masyadong aware. So, thank you so much, lalo na alam kong busy yung schedule mo. I really appreciate that you take the time to answer my questions.
You're welcome anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Stay curious.